Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 41 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and it's so great to be back after a few weeks off. And today we have a very special episode tuning into about a month and a half into the MLB season. I'm here with Dylan from MLB Transactions Daily on Instagram. 80,000, I believe, followers-ish around there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on, Jack.
Of course, of course. It's going to be a good time. MLB is heating up. We got MVP races. We got Rookie of the Year races. And these division standings are looking pretty weird. I'm super excited to get into them.
Oh yeah, for sure. We got a lot to unpack for sure.
All right. You want to start with both of our favorite division, of course, the American League East. You want to start there?
Oh yeah, American League East. I mean, we got Yankees in first place. I think it's not necessarily surprising for a lot of people to see, but I think besides that, we do have some surprising standings. Obviously, starting off with Orioles in fifth place, I think that's something that we could definitely dig deep into.
I totally agree. I mean, the Orioles, of course, I believe winning the division last year, going from first to last, crazy stuff. And there's a lot of factors for it being, you know, Adley Rutschman as well as their rotation. But overall, the stats are definitely looking pretty bad for Baltimore compared to last year. Seventh worst in batting average, eighth worst in OPS, third worst in ERA and WHIP, and the fifth worst defensive efficiency. Most of those stats, the only teams below them are, you know, the Rockies and the Marlins and the teams like that. And they're second worst in team WAR, only ahead of Colorado, who's in their own category of negative five. But looking at those stats, I mean, what happened?
I mean, you said it perfectly yourself. I think a lot of it's going with the pitching, with the fact that they entered the season with a already sort of weak rotation. Obviously, the injury to Grayson Rodriguez made it a lot harder for them. They invested in guys like Charlie Morton and Tomoyuki Sugano. Obviously, Sugano's putting up great
And
numbers.
Gibson,
He's,
who they just cut.
oh yeah, Gibson too, late in the spring training. Morton struggled this year. But anyone could have seen going into this year when it comes to their pitching that there's a lot of holes that they needed to plug in. And I think losing Corbin Burns in free agency was tough for them. So the fact that they weren't able to go out and spend money on these pitchers, they're really kind of seeing the negative impact of that so far early on the season.
I agree. Sugano's actually put together a good year, a 3 ERA through 53 innings, so not bad for him. But other than that, you know, Dean Kramer, their number one guy in the rotation, leading the league in hits allowed, as well as having a 5.5 ERA, with
Oh
everyone
man.
else in the rotation having a five or worse.
It's tough. It's a tough time in Baltimore. I mean, they do have the young guys coming up that can hopefully right the ship. They have Bradish returning from Tommy John, I believe. Tyler Wells coming back relatively soon. I don't know what his exact timetable is, but they do have young pitchers that could come in, hopefully step up. But you also mentioned some offensive stats in there. We're seeing some slow starts to the season. Adley's really struggling. We saw a tough second half from Rutschman last year too. So I think it's really going to come down to how those guys bounce back as well. It's tough because 2 years ago you saw a very promising young core, and the past two seasons we've seen early playoff collapses. So the future of Baltimore is definitely looking a little murky, but it's really going to come down to how they step up prior to the All-Star break.
And the craziest part is with Jackson Holliday and Gunnar Henderson both having OPS pluses of 126 and 118, you would think it's actually going pretty well. But then you got,
Yeah.
you know, Rutschman choking. You got Mountcastle doing absolutely nothing. Heston Kjerstad, one of the worst wins above replacement in the league at negative 0.8. It's just like outside of their top few guys like Sagano and Holliday this year and Henderson, it's really just a dumpster fire.
Listen, man, it was tough for Henderson. The fact that he didn't necessarily get a full spring training, I know he didn't lose too much time when it was all said and done, but he did miss some time due to injury. And I feel like that. His rehab process was sped up a little bit just based on the fact of how close he was when it came from an injury standpoint. They did give him a decent rehab assignment. He hit well, but I think he's starting to come to his own a little bit. But just the fact that he didn't have a normal spring training, they are getting bailed out in a sense by Jackson Holliday. I think this year was
Yeah.
definitely a statement year going into the season for him. But the fact that he was able to come out strong so far this year and be a solid second baseman, it's big for them.
And another thing that teams, you know, may be looking over when it comes to Baltimore is the bullpen is not at the level we know it can be at. Both Bautista and Cano not playing to the levels that we saw just a couple of years ago. Bautista with six earned runs through 13.2, but it's more so Cano, 16 innings, nine earned runs. And keep in mind, you know, Yennier Cano was a guy who was dominating the league in 2023 with a 2-1-1 through 73 innings. It's just everyone's falling off. It's not the offense. It's not the rotation. It's not the bullpen. It's every single spot of the team just collapsing simultaneously. Never mind with the firing of Brandon Hyde. This team's in a really rough spot, and I don't even know if the playoffs are in the realm of possibility at this point.
Yeah, you said it perfectly. I think it's definitely a dumpster fire on all ends right now. You mentioned the bullpen. Another veteran they went out and spent money on this offseason was Andrew Kittredge. I saw they activated him
Yes.
today. So that's a guy they really need to step up in the sense that, one, they invested a lot of money into him, and two, now his role is probably way more important than they would have thought. I'm sure he'll get some high leverage innings once he starts to bounce back from injury. I know you mentioned, I know I'm going all over the place here, but Felix Bautista coming back from Tommy John. We're seeing him having a kind of a rough start to the year, but we're also seeing guys like Spencer Strider and Sandy Alcantara that are really just not putting up their normal numbers. I know it's hard really to say for Strider because he hasn't had as many outings as a guy like Sandy has, but it really makes you question if the rehab process for these Tommy John surgeries, whether that's an internal brace procedure or something else, maybe they need to take a step back a little bit.
Totally. I mean, and you mentioned Kitteridge. I totally forgot that even happened. But he was great
Yeah.
last year, throwing to a 2.8 ERA over 70 innings. So this is a guy who was able to compete last year with St. Louis, heading over to the AL East with a team that very much needs that bullpen help. Hopefully, that's something to turn the tides more in a positive direction for Baltimore. And I quite funny enough, Baltimore had no success throughout the late 2010s. And then you get to the last couple of years, and suddenly the fans are all high about the team. And now this is a historic crash down. They were saying, no, the Yankees suck and all that. And now it's just a crazy crash.
It's always fun following a team's rebuild process because at the end of the day, it comes down to the front office. Obviously, there's going to be executives in and out because, believe it or not, rebuilds take a while. You can't just tank and then everything just gets fixed within a few seasons. It always takes a long time, and it's tough. I mean, we've seen some pretty brutal rebuilds. I know I just mentioned the Marlins. They're having, I'd say, a pretty tough time. They do have some young talent, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to how those guys develop and how those prospects come up as well. So, but yeah, there's a lot to unpack in the AL East for sure. Baltimore is just a small stepping stone.
Yeah, it's very different from the NFL where you can rebuild in, 2, 3 years because,
Oh, yeah.
you suck, you get to a high draft pick, you play well. But in MLB, your first round draft pick, there's no guarantee he'll ever make it to the major leagues. That's why it's
Nope.
so much harder than any other league because there's so much more risk and not enough reward. You really have to bank on hitting your picks. Whereas NFL, if you miss a pick, oh well, you'll get him next year.
Yeah, I mean, you hear horror stories all the time. Obviously, guys like Mark Appel, he did end up making the majors for the Phillies in 22, I believe, through an inning or
Yeah.
two. Brady Aiken with the these
Yep.
first round picks, first overall picks, they're tough, dude. Baseball, there's no. Especially if you're taking a guy out of high school, it's tough to really see how the talent's going to translate because you're essentially investing in these guys. I know for NFL it's similar,
Yeah.
but you are seeing them compete at a high level in college, coming straight into the league
Even
for most of the first round picks.
Henry Davis too.
Yeah, dude, Henry Davis, Joey Bart. I know he's kind of established himself a bit in Pittsburgh now, but draft's interesting for sure.
Yeah, definitely very different than all the other leagues we see here in America. But Baltimore definitely need to fix something in the coming months and maybe even the coming years because they seem so promising and all of a sudden it's falling apart just as fast as it came together. Second worst team WAR only ahead of Colorado, something that really sticks out because that truly shows, it's the team thing. It's not just one part of the
Yep,
ball.
absolutely. I think Colorado too. That's a tough one to unpack. Also, talk about a rebuild process. I think it's not really
Brutal.
fair to evaluate them yet
Brutal.
because they do have a very good farm system, and we're seeing a lot of those guys come up. Dolander, Holmquist, Amador's getting good innings out there now at second base, I believe. So that's another
Yeah.
team. These rebuilds are interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see how these guys play out.
Yeah, the Rockies have not had a winning season since 2018 when they lost in the division series. So it's been a long time waiting for Colorado fans. A lot of questionable moves, a lot of especially with Charlie Blackmon retiring, that was brutal,
Tough.
probably for team morale, totally probably tore the team apart. But, we've seen 200 loss seasons in 2024 and 2023. And believe it or not, they're on pace to do astronomically worse right now. They have a win percentage of 16.7%.
I think the as bad as they are, we don't really know what kind of direction they're gonna take when it comes to the trade deadline. They have a lot of veterans out there on their team. But we're talking about guys like Chris Bryant, who's on a historically bad contract. Germán Marquez, I don't know what his contract situation is, but he is getting paid a lot and he's not performing there. So I can't imagine teams gonna want to invest in him. An interesting chip they do have is Ryan McMahon, who I believe signed an extension going into 2022. He probably has around 3 years left on his deal, but he did have a slow start to the season as well. Obviously playing great defense as he usually does. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of approach they do take at the deadline, because I'm not sure how many value guys they're going to be able to get from teams.
Yeah, I definitely think you should keep an eye on Yermán Marquez. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent after this year, but
Oh, yeah.
he's only making $10 million this year. So that's a good opportunity where it's not too big of a contract for teams to not want to take on because they've never seen him pitch outside of Colorado. And he's actually put together arguably some of the best seasons from a Colorado pitcher over the last, decade or two. He's put together a few, 3 ERA years. So throwing him into a team, what's a team that could compete with him? Like even like the Mets, like they could take a
Sure.
shot on him. Not too big of a contract. Why not? You're already spending a ton of money as is. You need to make something happen if you really want to make that push because Philadelphia has overtaken the division.
Yeah, I mean, say it all the time. You can never have enough starting pitching. So, as difficult of a start he's had to his season, he does have the resume. And for $10 million, if Colorado has to eat a portion of that come July or wherever it might be, I'm sure a team's going to be willing to take him on. Just a question of how much they're going to be able to give up for a guy that's struggling like that. But, time will tell.
Yeah, but speaking of the Rockies in their division, arguably the best division in baseball right now, Dodgers, Giants, and Padres, the 2-5 and 6 seed in the current NL playoff picture. The Dodgers actually just got swept by the Angels. Are you concerned at all?
I'm not concerned. I think as much as people want to say the Dodgers aren't a complete team, they are a complete team. I'll be the first to say that. It's tough with the injuries.
It is.
But we all knew it was going to come down to that. But they are facing an influx of injuries when it comes to the bullpen. We're seeing guys like Kirby Yates, Evan Phillips, Bruce Argaturel. Who else is on the injury
Yeah,
list?
yeah.
They got a
They
ton
got
of guys there.
a whole like laundry list of just
Yeah.
injuries.
That's not even rotation either. I know you got Glasnow and Snell on the shelf as well. So it's going to be tough to see what kind of right-handers they use in high leverage innings. They were
Kopech.
able to Kopech too. Yeah, that's a huge one. They were able to sneak out a win last night, Tuesday, against the Mariners, I believe.
Yeah,
Or who?
I think so.
Diamondbacks. Sorry.
Oh no, D-back. Yeah.
Diamondbacks. Yeah, they had a walk-off win against them. So they were able to hold on from a bullpen aspect. But I just think when it comes down to the Dodgers, they're going to get to October. So I think what's really important to them is the health of their roster come September, October. So we'll see. I'm not worried about them. That division, though, I think ton of talent. I'll be the first to admit I wasn't that high on the Giants. I think they have a very talented rotation, and that's really what's putting them above the edge right now. I think, not to go on and on, but you got guys like Logan Webb, who's established himself as an ace of that team. You have guys like Robbie Ray, who's pitching solid in one of his first full seasons since coming back from Tommy John. And if he
Yeah.
could be that guy, that's going to be a huge stepping stone for them as well.
Funny enough, the Dodgers, you didn't even finish the list. You got Roky Sasaki, who just went on, I
Oh,
think about
man.
a week ago. You got
Yeah.
Blake Treinen. You got Gavin Stone. You got Sheehan. Like a whole
Tough.
list of pitchers that are just demolished. The offense has been pretty healthy overall. It's just the pitching's in a brutal spot. But when it comes to the Giants, I mean, I've always been I'm a Yankees fan, but the San Francisco Giants, I always know they're going to be good. Especially, I predicted their huge year a couple years ago when they had, what was it, the second best record in the league, third best record in the league?
Are you talking about 21?
Yeah.
I think they
When
had the best record.
did
I
they?
think they
When they
had
had like 100 and
105 wins or
something like
something
that?
insane
Yeah.
like that. Yeah, that's
But
wild. I never would have seen
I
that
mean,
coming.
it's a talented roster, but it's crazy enough because the Diamondbacks are in fourth. And I think if you put them in either of the other divisions, they are smoking most of the teams.
100%. Talk about a complete team. I think what the Diamondbacks are doing by capitalizing on their young core, combining that with spending money in free agency, is exactly what the Orioles should be doing. There's obviously there's a bit of a discrepancy when it comes to performance, but the fact they went out and got Corbin, and no one thought they were going to be a team that was going to be in play for Corbin Burnes. They went out and spent the money on him. They fortified their rotation. They had Merrill Kelly, Brandon Pfaadt, if that's how you say it. I always butchered the pronunciation of that.
Gallon.
Gallen, oh my God, you got so much talent in the bullpen. They're capitalizing on their young talent too. Justin Martinez, locking him up to an
Yeah.
extension. That's just a team that's It's unfortunate division placement. Because at the end of the day, I don't know if they're gonna beat out the Padres, but I do think I see the Diamondbacks as a solid playoff team. They should sneak into a wild card. I hate saying sneak in because it's
Because they're a
they'd be
great team.
division contenders. Yeah, dude. Imagine them in the NL Central, bro. They'd be going
Or
up
the AL
against
West, AL West.
yeah, sure, AL West too. But I think they would give the Cubs some smoke in the Central if you were to switch some things around. But it's tough. A lot of talent in NL West for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs are actually performing very well this year. It's funny enough because I have a Yankees group chat with like 40 other active guys. And so I was talking with them and they were like, "Oh, who do you like in the wild card race, the Mets or the Cubs?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm taking the Mets. I don't even think the Cubs will make it." And then they took that personally and they're now leading the NL Central
Oh,
Division.
yeah.
They've been tearing stuff up.
Talk about a team that went out and did it this offseason, them trading for Tucker. And in retrospect, they obviously gave up the centerpiece of that trade was Cam Smith, and he's going to develop into a stud. I think every single evaluator will tell you that. But they're able to shed a player like Paredes, who really didn't have a specific role in this team. Obviously, they have a hole at third base now, but Staal's going to come into his own with that. Wesneski, we just saw, is undergoing Tommy John surgery, so he's going to miss this season and part of next. So if you're going to tell the Cubs that they're going to give up Cam Smith, who's going to be a stud, I think there's really no doubting that. If they're able to lock up Tucker long term, I think that that's going to be a trade that really switched their franchise around. Not to be dramatic or anything, but you're seeing all the production from him, PCA, the Swanson stepping up, Horner just playing how Horner does.
Carson
There's a
Kelly
lot
out
of
of nowhere
Oh
from the
yeah,
top
Carson
rope.
Kelly, Babe Ruth, you might as well call him that. Listen, it's a good time to be a Chicago Cubs fan for sure.
Is. I mean, they have seven position players over the one wins above replacement threshold. And the three that are not on that list are Seiya Suzuki, Ian Happ, and Shaw. So I think that's a pretty good spot to be in if those are the three guys not in that group. But not only that, I mean, the pitching has been a relatively rough spot. I mean, Imanaga and Boyd are actually throwing pretty well. Same with Raya. But other than that, it's probably where it's going to bite them down the stretch. I don't know if it will, but that rotation's very, not fortified. Justin Steele has not been playing too well. Is he hurt again? I think
He
he's hurt again.
went elbow surgery. He underwent elbow
Yeah. No,
surgery,
I
so he's
think,
going to be
yeah.
missing this year. That's a big blow for them. So, I think talking about a trade deadline, team that really needs to go out there and get some
Starter,
pitching,
yes.
Cubs, put them up there.
Most definitely, most definitely. And the bullpen actually has been kind of interesting because Ryan Pressly is playing awful.
Tough. That's another tough one. We got Presley, who I think. He was really one of those dominant closers. The Astros took him from the Twins in 2018 or 2019, I believe. And they turned him into a demon. He was one of the league's best closers, and he stepped down from that role as soon as Hader stepped into Houston's picture,
Yeah.
obviously giving him that big contract. So you kind of wonder, is he kind of not used to closing games after stepping down from that role for a season? And the thing about the Cubs is I don't know how much time leeway they're going to give him. Obviously, Porter Hodge got placed on the injured list recently, I believe. But that's a guy who can also step up big time when it comes to getting some saves down the stretch for Chicago. So there's a lot of question marks with that team. But at the same time, if you show them their roster 2 years ago as compared to what they had 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think Cubs fans will be happy for sure.
Most definitely. But from 21 to 23, Presley with 90 saves in those 3 years. Of course, as I said last year, stepped down from that role, only had four. But this year, he has four saves, but his ERA is also 5.7.
Tough. That's a
If,
rough one.
I mean, if the Cubs are going to want to make that stretch down towards September and into the postseason, they're going to need to fortify not only the starting rotation, but the bullpen. I think the offense is more than fine to
Oh yeah.
carry them through a postseason run.
No, the offense is set. I think there's very few teams where you could say that I wouldn't necessarily touch the offense when it comes to trades, but there's so many guys who haven't stepped up to their potential yet. I know I mentioned Shaw before. Ian Happ's gotten a decent start to the year. I know he's just came back from the injured list. So there's going to be guys, assuming there's no major injuries between now and the end of July. I think pitching is going to be one of their focuses for sure.
Yeah, can we also talk about PCA? I mean,
Oh,
putting
man.
together such a year. Like, I knew he was going to be like a good ball player. I didn't think he'd be this good. Leading the National League in WAR, tied with Tatis, I believe. 12 homers, 285 batting average. And not to mention what he's doing in the field. He has a 145 OPS plus, and it's probably a million defensive run saves out there.
Well, the knock on PCA when he was in the minors, I know with the Mets, and his bat did start to develop. He was a no-brainer when it came to a fielder as well as a base runner. The fact that he's been able to take this next step and become a legit bat in their order is it's made all of a difference for the Cubs. He's turning into a five-tool player.
Yeah,
It's
exactly. That's what I was gonna
right in
say.
front of their eyes. It's wild for sure. I think if he's able to keep this production up with the bat, he'll be an all-star this year for sure. I think MLB will love that. He's a marketable player. All the Cubs fans love him. If you know him and you're a baseball fan, he's definitely a fun guy to track. He's right out there with Ellie De La Cruz when it comes to a dynamic type of player.
Definitely.
So I think he's a guy. I know he turned down an extension with the Cubs, but I do think that they should try to get something done this offseason with him.
Yeah, I mean, his hard hit percentage is 40%, average exit velocity of 87 miles an hour off the bat. And I mean, those are great numbers when you look at it. BABIP of 326, just
Oh
putting
man.
balls in play, putting them in play hard, and, getting the production he needs. Again, a 285 batting average, not bad at all in this day and age.
He's a stud. I don't follow the Cubs that closely, but I do believe he's not even hitting that close to the top of their order. I think down the line, as long as he continues to prove himself as a bat that's going to be able to produce day in and day out, they can maybe experiment with him in the leadoff spot. I don't know what you think of that,
Yeah,
but
the
I could see him up there.
Cubs actually just took the lead over the Marlins 2-1, and
Oh yeah.
PCA is hitting in the four hole today.
Okay. Yeah.
But
So that must be a decently new spot for him because I know he was hitting towards the middle bottom of the lineup most of the season.
I know it's the Marlins, but Cade Horton, 5.1 innings, one run.
Talk about a
Not
prospect.
a bad game right there.
Yeah. He's had a
But
solid start.
he has. But I've and also Matt Shaw. I mean, of course, one of the big pieces, in that minor league system from the Cubs, drafted him, I believe, 2 years ago,
I believe so, yeah.
2023
I don't
first
know for
rounder, I
sure, but
think.
that sounds about right.
I think he was the 2023 first rounder. Not playing poorly. I mean, he's hitting 209, which could be better, OPS of 610, but still, clearly, something's working on the defensive end. Still has a positive WAR, despite having a 75 OPS plus, but there's a lot of potential with this kid.
100%. And he just got the call back up to the majors. Chicago obviously saw what they needed to see out of him in the minors while he was going down there and developing after that stint during opening day, that kind of opening series that week, whatever it was. So that's a guy that's going to continue to develop as well. And we have a lot of time between now and October. So it's going to be fun to track. Cubs are a fun team for sure.
They are. But with PCA, of course, he's going to be in that National League MVP running. Let's talk about the others in that category. I set apart five other guys who I think would also be in the argument. You got Ohtani, Tatis, Corbin Carroll, Kyle Tucker, and Pete Alonso. So, I mean, of course, we know MLB loves Ohtani. That's how it's going to be. 2.7 WAR, 311 batting average, 17 bombs, OPS plus of 199, just one shy of that, 100% better than the average hitter mark. Where are we feeling on those five guys, and who do you think is going to take it at this point of the year?
Man, I think you could say what you want about Tatis. I understand he's had some controversy in the past. It's hard to come back from a PED suspension like that, especially when he was the face of the league, he got a huge extension early in his career. But what he's done after that suspension, moving from shortstop to right field, winning a platinum glove, consistently producing without, he's also gotten less and less media coverage from MLB. I know they're kind of starting to lean into it a little bit more now, but this guy has literally taken anything anyone's had to say about him, put his head down, and continued to be a superstar in this league. We're seeing his numbers so far early this season. He's posted a 3 WAR, 12 homers, 303 batting average. Tatis is a guy who I think if he's able to keep this production up, especially in the field, he's going to be someone who gives Ohtani a run for his money. I know it feels like Ohtani against the world, but Tatis and honestly Tucker, I think those two are going to be the main guys that give Ohtani a run for his money.
Totally. I mean, you don't see a 927 OPS and platinum glove defense all too often. And if anyone's going to knock off Ohtani from that NL MVP crown, it's going to be Tatis. He's playing incredibly. He's one of the main reasons why the Padres are really, giving the Dodgers a run for that number one spot as, they're getting all these injuries. It's anyone's game at this point. Between those two, Ohtani and Tatis, it just matters as to who can stay healthier and who can help support the guys around them more. Because we know MVP is heavily based on RBI, which is funny because I think it's a very flawed stat personally. But
Agree.
with the Dodgers, they get on base so much. Otani's going to naturally have that knack, in my opinion. So it just matters, can Tatis, make up for that in other ways, like the base paths? But Otani's also a very good bag stealer. There's a lot of stuff to look into.
I think an MVP race between Ohtani and Tatis would be awesome, especially since the obviously the Dodgers and the Padres are going to be that two-headed monster in the NL West when it's all said and done. I know the Diamondbacks and Giants are fantastic teams, and they very well could be wildcard teams as well. But seeing if we have two MVP candidates in that division going neck and neck, I think it's going to be cool for baseball.
Yeah, I mean, both putting together incredible years. It's feeling like 2021 all over again in the National League West. But of course, those are the two guys that we have heading up for the NL MVP, heading over to the AL MVP. There's no conversation to be had. It's Aaron Judge, right?
Or Aaron Judge. I mean, this guy's had every question against him throughout the years. He's had people that didn't want to give him his contract when he was entering his free agency. Or obviously, there was a bidding war with him. I know he almost went to the Giants,
Arson
but
Judge.
that Aaron Judge, John Hamm, and that
Yeah.
contract, dude, what is that? 9 years, 360.
It's actually aging pretty well.
Oh my God! And compare that to what Vlad got money wise. I know the ages were a lot different. Free agency years. Soto, obviously, you could say. I think even if the Yankees have to eat 1 or 2 years off that deal, I know they won't because he's a fan favorite, but that's a guy who's playing up to his potential for sure. I mean, we're seeing one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time doing his thing day in and day out. It's been fun to watch.
Easily. I mean, a 403 batting average at the end of May, an OPS of 1.253, and a 252 OPS plus. I believe the third highest OPS plus from in a single season at this point in, what,
Video
few, at
game
least a few
numbers.
decades. It's ridiculous. 3.9 B war, 4.3 F war. Do we think he goes unanimous?
I think so. We're talking, it's May 21st. You never know what's gonna happen. Hopefully injuries don't play a factor, but I think he has with I know Ohtani was out of division last year, but with Ohtani out of that division, I think it's gonna be a lot easier for him to go unanimous this year. We'll see how the AL shakes out. It's definitely early to say unanimous or not, but it's going to be hard for someone else to give him a run for his money if he keeps batting. I know he's not going to keep batting 400, but let's say his average tanks 70 points and he's batting 330. It's leading the league in home runs. He's doing it, so we'll see.
It's funny because early in his career, you would never hear people saying, oh, Aaron Judge, batting average hitter. And then here he is
Right.
hitting 400 in May and still likely, to keep his batting average above, 310, 315 in September, maybe even 320.
Yeah, and we're talking about a guy who moved off his natural position last season to facilitate the addition of Soto. Well, going to center field, I know he's super adamant about going there and he likes playing the position, but just seeing Judge play in right field, it feels so much more natural. That's the position that he's been used to for quite some time now. And you almost like wonder if that is part of the reason why he's been able to just lock in on hitting, really take it to a level that no one thought he could get to after hitting what was it, 62 home runs that in 2022. It's
62.
been crazy. So he's fun to watch for sure. There's MLB's in a great time right now. I think the combination of young electric hitters, base runners, fielders, and obviously veteran guys just continuing to do it. It's been fun.
Yeah, as much as I love, that 2010s era, I'd do anything to go back to the 2017 Yankees.
Oh
But
yeah.
this era
Top
is
Frazier.
still incredible. I mean, and
Yeah.
another team that you're very high on. We only have a few minutes left on the show, but no longer, I was about to say Oakland. It's no longer Oakland. The Sacramento Athletics for at least a couple years. Jacob Wilson and JP Sears. You want to get on them real quick?
Yeah, I think the Athletics are a team that I want to highlight just based on the fact that I know they have a tough record. They got off to a decent start. I believe they're 22 and 26 right now. So, oh, sorry about that. I think they do have that young talent. I don't think their record is reflecting the talent that they have in their team right now. You mentioned JP Sears, Jacob Wilson. Jacob Wilson is playing like a unanimous rookie of the year candidate right now for the American League. Obviously, there's guys that are yet to really take that next step when it comes to Christian Campbell, Jason Dominguez. We'll see what happens with him. But you have a guy like Jacob Wilson, the game is coming easy for him. He debuted last year and he's batting 350 plus this year. It's been fun to watch. But combine that with some of the other hitters on their team, Lawrence Butler, Brent Rooker, JJ Bleday, this is a team that really did the rebuild thing and did it well. They're drafting well, they're evaluating talent well, their pitching's been rock solid. I know that that's probably the one knock you could have on them, but with the mix of veteran guys like Sevy, you have Jeffrey Springs, who they acquired this offseason. It's an exciting time for the A's, and who knows, when they get to Vegas in a few years, maybe they'll be division favorites. But it's definitely a fun team to watch so far, and that's a team that I've really enjoyed following.
Yeah, they got a very good farm. Kurtz and Muncy, the other Max Muncy, not the Dodgers one. And Tommy Tanks out of LSU, a whole bunch of guys. I think Colby Thomas is a guy to keep an eye on, currently in their AAA, expected to be called up this year. Hitting .298 so far this year, .916 OPS in AAA, 10 homers. Pretty good.
Solid, man. It's a good farm system for sure. We got the bullpen I didn't even touch upon. Mason Miller, there's only so much you could say about him. That's a closer who's gonna really hold it down for them for years to come.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe he's only in his second year of pre-arbitration. So
Sounds
they
right,
got him
yeah.
for a while. And you've another guy, Justin Serner, who's really taken a step for them as a setup guy this year. So that's the thing about relievers. Obviously, we're talking about the Athletics right now, but just around baseball, you never know who's going to be that guy. And that's why a lot of teams are reluctant to pay relievers, because they're very expendable in the sense that you could have guys come up from the minors, whether they're veterans or guys making their big league debuts. You never know who's going to step up and be a solid guy out of your pen.
It's weird because relievers also have a tendency to, go back and forth. You got 2022 and 2023 where Johan Duran is looking absolutely ridiculous. Then last year, he does basically nothing. And then he comes back this year with a 0.84 ERA through 21 innings. It's like they're so volatile. They can just keep switching back and forth between, all-star season and then looking like you want them off your team just all the time. So that's why they're reluctant to pay them. But overall, these top relievers in the game, they're going to be top, and Mason Miller's right up there.
I think I've never really thought it this way, but the more I hear you talk about it, I think you can compare relievers or elite relievers to running backs in the NFL.
Yes,
I
yes.
think teams will go out and they'll pay their star closers if they've held it down. You saw the Mets do it with Edwin Diaz, the
Like
Yankees
Hader.
did it with Chapman. Yeah, Hader, for of course. There's gonna be those top guys that you pay in, but you still might feel a little uncomfortable with the outcome. But at the end of the day, there's gonna be so many guys, they're very replaceable. It's definitely a tough job.
It is, it is. But you know what else is going to be tough? The AL Central down the stretch. The Tigers currently looking like the best team in baseball in the one seed in both the American League and the AL Central, with the Twins, Guardians, and Royals in second, third, and fourth in the division, all within half a game of each other. They're five, five and a half, and five and a half back of Detroit. But that's a neck, neck, neck race right there.
Insane. And you saw the Royals take that step last year. I think the Tigers are really separating themselves as one of the best teams in baseball. I think it's fair to say that they would be heavy favorites for this division, but you never know. The fact that those second, third, and fourth place teams are so close with each other, especially with the Royals, who we saw make it all the way to the ALDS last year against the Yankees, Guardians make it to the ALCS, and Twins, who've consistently been a solid team in the AL Central. You never know what's going to happen. We'll see.
Didn't the Twins just put down like a 13 game win streak, 13, 14 games, somewhere
Yeah,
like that?
coming off a 13-game win streak of the Twins after a rough start to the year. So it's a fun division. There's a lot of fun divisions out there. There's really, I don't know how many boring divisions you could add. And it's
No,
funny
I
because
think
the
everything
AL
has slung
East,
a
man,
value.
the AL East, it's performance-wise, they're probably the most underwhelming so far when it comes to neck and neck type of races.
Not something you would have thought you would say, even like 2 months ago.
No way. I thought the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, Yankees were going to be right up there. Even the Rays, can't really count them
Oh,
out. So
definitely. But the Yankees
definitely
fighting
interesting to
through
see how
injuries.
stuff's going to unfold. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
a lot of injuries. Gerrit Cole out for the year. Stanton yet to play. Should be beginning rehab soon enough. He'll look different in rehab just because he doesn't play the field. We'll see how Boone wants to manage that. Jazz has been out since the end of April. Luis Gil has not played yet. He'll come back in probably, I'd guess, July, August after suffering an injury during spring training. But the guys who have stepped up, Rice, Goldie, Volpe, and Grisham, an average OPS of 146 OPS plus, that is, with 33 homers and 5.5 B WAR. But let's focus on Rice and Grisham for these last couple minutes. How have those guys stepped up? I actually got to interview Ben Rice at spring training, and he's mentioned, putting on weight, hitting the ball harder. How much do you think they've contributed to this team where it is right now?
I'll start with Rice. You said it yourself, he was able to bulk up this offseason, put on some muscle. Yankees are very focused on exit velocity. That's something their organization's been focused on for quite some time now. They don't care if you're going to strike out. They care if you're going to hit the ball hard and be up there in the top percentile when it comes to exit velocity. And Rice is doing just that. He's hitting the ball hard and he's seeing results. We saw last night he had a sac fly. I believe it was 110 miles per hour or so, or maybe it was like lower hundreds, whatever it was. Hit the ball hard, put it in play, sac fly. Unfortunate outcome. But the point is with Rice, he's hitting these balls hard. They're finding grass. They're finding the seats. And Grisham, I mean, you can only say so much about him. He
Out
was
of
a throw-in for
nowhere.
the Soto trade. The Padres were trying to shed some salary. The Yankees took him on in order to get some salary relief for the Padres. They had the option to non-tender in this offseason. They took him on for a $5 million salary, and he's stepping up when stands out for sure.
We want Grisham.
But yeah, I was at that game, the Dodgers game last
Were
year
you
with
really?
the glass. Oh my God, it was electric. It was
Oh, that's
sick.
so funny. No, I love the way that the Yankees have really gotten these guys to step up in the wake of all these injuries, especially Volpe. I mean, I don't know about Volpe. He's had some good moments, had some bad moments. That's just how it's going to be. Goldie playing well, of course, a former MVP doing his thing.
100%. It's going to be fun to see how they shake out as well.
Yeah, Goldie, a future Hall of Famer. Same with Judge. Hopefully Stanton and a whole bunch of these young guys. We'll see how it goes. But I think that's going to cap it off here for episode number 41 of the Playoff Push podcast. Some good coverage of the MLB so far, a month and a half into the year. I'll keep going with these as we progress, maybe one in early July and then one when we get back up to September. But again, that's going to be it. Thanks for joining me, Dylan.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. Appreciate it.
Of course, of course. Thank you, everyone, for checking out the podcast. I really appreciate it. Make sure to, share so I can help spread my message through sports. Thank all of you for tuning in and have a great rest of your day.